This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, December 15th, 2017. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, Jeremy Corbyn on why unions are important in public services, Noam Chomsky on the rise of unions, an anti-worker tax bill in the United States, the future of work in the transportation sector, and the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. The International Peace Bureau, based in Geneva, has awarded its 2017 Peace Awards to Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party in the United Kingdom, and Noam Chomsky, a distinguished linguist and political activist. Mr. Corbyn sent a video message to the delegates who attended the recent International Congress of Public Services International. The PSI represents public employee unions at the world level.
The neoliberal economic model is broken, and working people around the world who have seen their conditions worsen and often their wages stagnate are angry. For so long, we've been told that our policies are economically flawed or electorally unpopular, that public service workers are a drag on the economy, that there is no alternative. The experience in my country shows this is false and that we can and must offer a bold alternative. If we do not, we leave a vacuum and risk ceding ground to the fear-mongering and false promises of the far right. It's possible to win the argument if our message is bold, credible, and radical. If we listen to what the majority actually want, we will prove the elites and their pundits wrong. We in this movement have the enthusiasm, the ability, and the ideas to change this world. But I also know we can only do it when we work together, both at home and across the globe. To the members of the Public Services International, I salute you, and I want to thank you for the work that you do. Together, we can win for the many, not the few.
Noam Chomsky is an emeritus professor of MIT and a renowned political activist. He insists that while the labor movement has been beaten down in recent times, it can rise again.
It's been done in the past under much harsher circumstances. A core part of a progressive program is to rebuild the organized structure of the labor movement, which all throughout modern history has been in the forefront of progressive change. And that's not impossible either. It's been beaten down pretty severely in the past generation, but it's been worse before. If you go back to the 1920s, a period which is not unlike today in many ways, the Gilded Age, you know, the labor movement was virtually destroyed. Woodrow Wilson's Red Scare practically wiped it out. There had been a militant activist labor movement. There was almost nothing left of it in the 1920s. By the 1930s, it revived. Militant labor action, organization of the CIO, overcame racist conflicts, laid the basis for the New Deal programs, which were highly beneficial. That can happen again. No reason why it can't.
In the United States, the right-wing Republican Party is taking advantage of its control of Congress to push through a tax reform bill, which will hurt working people and increase income inequality in the country. A vote on the tax bill is expected before the end of the year. Unions are fighting back by mobilizing their members against the legislation. Organizing the efforts at the national level is the AFL-CIO, the largest labor federation in the U.S. It represents some 12 million members in 56 unions.
Hi, I'm Liz Schuler, Secretary-Treasurer of the AFL-CIO, and I want to talk to you for a minute about why the Republican tax bill is so dangerous and why we need to fight back. We all know tax reform is hard, but what's easy to see is that this bill is terrible for working people. It's nothing more than a bunch of tax giveaways to millionaires and billionaires at our expense. Here are some of the biggest ways it will hurt working people. It kills jobs by giving huge tax cuts to big corporations that outsource. It punishes states that make the kind of investments that create good jobs. And incredibly, many middle-class families will see their taxes go up.
The United Nations agency focused on matters of work in the world is conducting a global inquiry into the effects of new technologies on the future of work. The UN's International Labour Organization, the ILO, has been asking labour organizations to have discussions about how new technologies will affect their members. One of those organizations is the International Transport Workers Federation. The ITF is facing major changes such as the introduction of driverless cars and the rise of unregulated companies such as Uber. Rob Johnston is the ITF's Assistant General Secretary.
What we need to be able to do is make the argument that it's beneficial to all and not just a few. In Germany, currently there's negotiations going on around a collective agreement which will look at the impact of automation and the best way to deal with that. But if you're a transport worker in India, for example, that can seem a hell of a long way away. If you were an informal taxi driver sleeping in the back of your cab, working, you know, 24 hours a day, trying to earn a pittance, trying to feed your family, that is a long, long way from where we are. And I think that's the thing about automation as well. When you consider that 70% of the world's population will be living in urban cities in the next 10 years, when you think about the ability to travel from aviation, from through airports and things like that, and also the transport infrastructure that will need to support those cities, there are some major, major challenges ahead. Not to mention that 50% of the world's population will live in two countries alone, which is India and China. How do we address that? And how do we make sure that automation is something for everybody, wherever they live, whatever region, rather than just to the benefit of a few?
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 260 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to coverage of the sit-down strike underground by 700 miners in Kazakhstan over wages and safety issues, the role played by working-class voters in Trump's first electoral defeat, and the negative impact on unions and workers of the proposed changes to South Africa's labor laws. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Aviation workers grounded Kenya's National Airlines operations in Nigeria in a dispute over a wide range of issues. The strike by Kenyan university lecturers ended with a victory on pay. Rural women's public health and contraception workers in India were off the job and facing the sack for demanding a living wage. The Sri Lankan rail strike was suspended to allow children to return to school, while the railway strike in Zambia ended when the wages owed the workers was paid. In the UK, rail workers struck in solidarity with 64 union activists who had just been sacked. Border staff escalated their wage dispute in Swaziland, causing long delays at border crossings. Public transport workers in England ended their walkout with a victory on pay. Newsstand workers in Slovenia took a day off work to protest their precarious employment. And in Zimbabwe, nurses and midwives ended their strike when their demand for more supplies for hospitals and clinics was met. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the problems and risks faced by Iraqi women in the hospitality industry, Mexican union women organizing around electricity pricing, and women teachers organizing and teaching against gender-based violence in Zimbabwe. The Health and Safety Newswire we run in cooperation with Hazards magazine carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the first increase in mine worker fatalities in South Africa in decades, a safety strike by factory workers in China, and the very high rate of fatal accidents among Israel's largely migrant and Palestinian construction workforce. Currently, Labour Start is running 6 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labour news you can use. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.